And we explore ways to actually reclaim the connection and the communication with our own higher selves, with our own inner divinity, and with the power that comes through that connection. Each week I share with you workable, proven methods for experiencing greater peace, greater love, joy, and connection, and how to remove those internal, usually unconscious, obstacles that have actually blocked our connection with that divine source of all life. I believe that it is our God-given birthright to experience inner joy, peace, and unconditional love, to actually feel whole in body, in mind, and in spirit. And if that's what you want, then you're in the right place. And I hope that you and all of your friends join us every Wednesday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern to learn how you can begin living the life you've always wanted to live. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach, and my passion has always been spiritual connection, along with sharing what I've learned in this wild and crazy life I've lived about being happier, healthier, and more at peace inside. And so each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, what actually helps, what really matters, so that we can have not only the energy, but the inspiration to begin living in the ways that we've always wanted to live. I know that each and every one of us is a divinely created being. And that divine spark of life, it's alive in each and every one of us. I know that because without it, we wouldn't be living. We would be what we call dead. We wouldn't be breathing, living, walking, talking. And because of that inner spark of life, that God spark, that inner divinity, we have the choice and we also have the power to bring ourselves up. Sometimes we need a little help, but we can rise up out of depression, out of addiction, anger, grief, any suffering that we may have been experiencing. We can come up out of it. I know that because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. And so I really hope that you join me here every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, or online at WAIF883.org, as we tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that actually is animating all forms of life, including yours and mine. There's never really anything that we need to get or gain or even do in order to feel that inner peace or happiness. There's really only stuff that we have to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of that God energy inside of us. You can call that your higher self, or you can call it great spirit, or unconditional love, or divine energy. It doesn't really matter what you call it, but it really does matter if you call on it. Because that divine power that lives in your heart and mine and in everyone else's, that divine power is actually ours as soon as we claim it. And that's really what this show is all about. And so I really want to thank you for listening. And I'd also like to let you know that if you would like some help with getting in touch with that higher self, that inner spirit inside of you, there is a free guided meditation on my website. There's also a whole lot of free information and other tools on my various websites. And you're invited to check those out if you would like to. And it's just my name, Louisa Dyer, Louisa, D-Y-E-R, LouisaDyer.com, LouisaDyer.net, and also thewowprocess.com. Lots of information on there if you want it. There's also a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. So if you're on Facebook and you'd like to connect, please do so. I'd love to hear any comments you have about what we've had on the show or what you'd like to see on the show. And I've also been inviting people to share their personal transformational stories, aha moments, anything that's happened that has made you come alive or recognize yourself as the divine being that you are, anything that has really turned your life around for the better. I've discovered over the years that when we hear one another's transformational stories, it wakes us up in a way that just reading an article just doesn't do. And so I invite you to share those stories, and that Facebook page or any of those websites is a way to get in touch with me. And let's see if you would like to be on the radio, either by the phone or come in the station if you're in the area. And so we begin each week, each show, with a little bit of music to uplift our spirits, to really begin to bring body, mind, and spirit into a greater harmony. And I'd also recommend that you let the body move if it really wants to. Because when the body's moving with music, it really begins to feel more strongly the spirit that's animating the body. So I'll be back in 5 or 10 minutes, and I really hope you join me for today's exploration of how to live a healthier, happier, more centered life. And here's some music to get us moving on that divine journey. Enjoy. Beautiful spirits. That, of course, was Ruthie Foster singing Welcome Home.
Before that, we heard Standing as One as a Child of Light by Faith Rivera. If you are just joining us, you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your dial, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am a metaphysical minister and holistic life coach, and I am your host here every Wednesday for Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And what we do here on this show is we find all the ways that we can find to tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that lives inside each and every one of us. Because when we do that, not only does it feel good, but it makes us healthier in body, in mind, and in spirit. And, you know, mystics and sages and therapists even have known that for a long time, but science has now proven that to be the case as well. So what we're all about on this show is welcoming that connection with that divine spark that lives inside of us, because when we do that, it helps us really wake up, and life begins to be different. We feel different. We attract different things. And today we have a very special event happening. We are interviewing a good friend of mine. Her name is Bev Bowers, and she is a local community luminary in my mind, whose passion has been writing and working with film and bringing great women performers to Cincinnati. And so we're going to hear how doing what she loves has nurtured her in both mind and body. And we might even talk about a little bit of spirit, since that's what we're all about here. And so we hope to get that interview started by 1:30. I also want to let you know about underwriting on WAIF. Underwriting is a great way to get your business message to our listeners. If you would be interested in that, you can call one of our underwriting experts today. That number is 513-351-1538 or 513-226-5585, and they'll guide you through the process of underwriting. We can target your underwriting to any show that you choose, including this one, and is a great, very inexpensive way to get your business message to our listeners. So you'll be helping your business as well as this great radio station. And so we're going to put on a little bit of music here, and when we come back, we're going to be interviewing Ms. Bev Bowers, and I'm really looking forward to that. So if you know Bev, you're going to be excited, and if you don't know Bev, you're going to be amazed. So I suggest that you get your friends together and join us back here in about 5 or 10 minutes, and we're going to have a great talk today. So I am going to put on one of my favorite Michael Jackson tunes, and if you don't know what the words mean, really listen, and I think you'll understand what I'm talking about. Enjoy.
Gonna make it right. As I turn If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make that change.
Spirits. That was Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. And gosh, isn't that the truth? What that song is all about is, instead of looking at your neighbor and making judgments, look in the mirror, because you're the one that you have the power to do something about. You're the one that you can make a difference for in your life. You don't have any power, any control over anything external, and certainly not anyone else. But just take a look in the mirror, because that's where your power lies. And so I just love starting off with that song. And now we are back with my special interview that I told you about today. And before we go there, I want to let you know about Grailville. Grailville is owned and operated by the Grail, an international movement of women in 18 countries working for social transformation. Grailville is located in Loveland, Ohio, and offers programs on ecology, spirituality, feminism, the arts, and social justice. For more information on the programs offered at Grailville, you can call 513-683-2340 or check out their website at www.grailville.org. And you spell that G-R-A-I-L-V-I-L-L-E. And I wanted to just let you hear that little piece about Grailville, because I happen to know that Bev, that we're interviewing today, has a little bit of history with Grailville. And let me just tell you a little bit about Bev before I introduce her, let her introduce herself to you. I think of her as a community luminary, and I know that her passion has been creating opportunities for women in film, in music, and in theater. And in September 2005, she created a company called Women's Way of Ohio. That mission was really simple, supporting women to help them find new venues and to help with financing in film, in music, and in theater. And in that very first year, they produced 38 concerts. Can you believe that? And I know one of them was at Grailville. And since then, they've completed 2 documentaries, assisted in publishing a book, they've presented plays, and they've worked with various nonprofits so that they can put on big, exciting events. And I know there's one coming up called Swan Day. And last year, that was a whole lot of fun. And so we're going to have Bev talk about that a little bit. So, Bev, welcome to the program.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking me.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit, I had to kind of prepare because your approach here is spirituality. Those that know me probably are wondering how that's going to work out. So, here we are.
You want to tell us what you mean by that?
Well, you know, I was like everyone when I was growing up. Things happened, you know, life happened. But until, actually, I was just involved in having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my 20s, I found myself at Grailville. And that was my first experience with women who were searching and looking at their spirituality. And this was in the 70s when the Catholic Church was having a lot of women wondering if they were properly represented in the church.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about Grailville, some of my experience with them would be with Janet Calvin and Elizabeth McGee and the Grail Women's Task Force, which was set out there to help women of all faiths to come together to work and try to find community of spirituality. And I was the Forrest Gump of Grailville, truly. Truly, they tried so hard. And it was a wonderful time. I met people like Mary Daly and, you know, the Grail women that passed through there from different countries and some of the philosophies and some of the discussions that I sat and had the honor to enjoy made me start questioning where I stood as far as even thinking about that part of my life.
Right. And what did you discover?
Well, I discovered that it's easier than you think to set some time aside to think about those principles. And you have to, if you don't really sit down and think about your life or journal about your life or put some designs in your life, I think you miss a lot simply because you're not observing it.
Mm-hmm.
So the focus that spirituality brings for me helps me enjoy what I'm doing so much better at a deeper level. Are you okay over there, Louisa?
I am. I'm trying to let my co-host know the door.
We have someone locked out.
Yeah, just keep talking.
Okay. I'll just keep talking here. Let's see. I'm going to talk about some more things about Grailville.
Talk about yourself.
Okay. I'll talk about myself. Personally, I'm not exactly sure what you all would want to hear about me. I stand on the shoulders of a lot of talented, wonderful women that come to this city, and they will put on amazing shows and music and writing, and it just they're all back, by the way. We're getting all hooked up here.
It sounds to me like you're not talking about yourself.
Well, you know, what I believe that the spirit that we have inside of all of us, once you've recognized it and you allow it to just be and you don't worry about defining it to everybody or explaining it to everyone. Truly, when I first started thinking about that, I thought, well, I'm going to have to come up with some explanation of what I feel and what my spirit is. And once I realized that that's really not at all important, that being spiritual is to understand that life is not just about you. You're part of it, an important part. You've got to be here, or else probably there wouldn't be any. The life would not be complete. But I've found that when I relax and just sit and think, the things that are troubling me can literally just melt away.
Yeah.
You can look outside and enjoy a sunset, or you can listen to some wonderful music, or in my case, you can just sleep. I've suffered from not being able to get a lot of rest over the past 5 years, and a lot of it, I think, is because I worry so much about outside things that I have no control over.
Right.
When you can lose that control over things and understand that everybody has a right to their opinions. Everyone has a right to design their life the way they. Then you can relax. You can step back and let things be. And when I was younger, I had a horse. I had a horse for 33 years. So my spirituality was confined to the back of a horse for many, many years.
Wow.
When I would leave my friends and go off to the aloneness of riding a horse through the woods and the pastures and just sit and listen to the wind or just feel how the earth was settling around me and the smells and different things that you could find. I did that every day. Mm. So I didn't realize it then, but I was certainly finding a center inside myself.
Right. It sounds like that really fed your spirit.
It did.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I was aware of it then, that I might have actually written it down to at some level. But I don't know. I look back at some of the things I did write when I was younger, and it just makes me want to throw up. What was that? But, Mary Brosmer, she developed Women Writing for a Change, and one of her reasons for doing that was for women to find a way to experience who they are through journaling.
Right.
And people may chuckle about that, but the truth is, when you're with a group of women and you sit and you talk about things that women like to talk about, which is their lives, their hearts, their children, their loves, things, and you start looking at them and sharing stories that are deeply important to you in that group setting, and you write about it, all of a sudden, those things start blending into the true experience, I think, of who you are.
Right. Well, and that's what spirituality is who you really are. It's like knowing the truth of who you are. That's really how I think about spirituality. And when I named the show Inner Divinity, that was the point of it, is that in my experience, because I've studied so many religions and worked with this my whole entire life because I had to even begin to feel whole. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I really accepted that God is inside of me that it began to have any real meaning about what is spirituality. God is inside of me. Yes, God is so much more than I am, and I could sure find it on the back of a horse or sitting at the ocean or looking at a tree or being in nature. But it's when we give ourselves the opportunity to journal or to be in solitude, like you were talking about on the horse, or to be in a group where everybody's focused on the same thing, that really helps put you in touch with whatever your truth is. I think that is spirituality, and that is feeding our soul, because until we know the truth of who we are, there's no way we're going to be in touch with something that's bigger than who we are. Because it's like we're not there to even be in touch.
I agree. And the sense of community that you can find when you start developing or looking into your spirituality is amazing.
Yeah.
It just amazes me. And recently we had a workshop with Arbutus Cunningham. And as a large workshops are hard for people to handle, but this one blended really well. And there was a moment in there where we all stood and sang and held hands, and it was just an amazing moment, I thought, of all of the... Very few people in there had cross connections. A lot of people came on their own, so there wasn't a lot of, people that knew each other. But the group blended so well, and the writing that was shared, the community brought out, the spiritual writing that was shared between all those people. I had a box of Kleenex, and I would go from Kleenex to laughing. It was just amazing, the experience. For me, that's my spirituality. When people ask me about what I do as far as producing, and I love the moment when it comes together, and the audience or the people, the person performing in the audience, and the moment when the art is born.
Yeah.
There's a moment when the art takes place in a room, and everybody, not only the person singing or dancing, everybody's in that moment. And I sometimes just wish that I could just keep that moment to somehow, pass around. There is an image that I saw once of a group of women. I think they were Native American women.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sitting around the fire, and there had been a special moment in the tribe, and someone was holding the moment in their hands, and they were tossing the moment from one another, and then they tossed it into the sky. And it was just, to me, that is when I'm just so aware that there is some goodness in the world.
Yeah, wow.
And all of the other stuff that you can't bear to think of.
Right.
Steps aside for a minute for me.
Because you can really, in that moment, you can really feel.
I can believe that we could make this world a beautiful place, that there are good people and there are good hearts, and that when you come, and, you know, when people agree to come and walk into an event, be your radio show or... Do people know the path with this?
Well,
we have a secret person sitting over here.
We better go ahead and... she didn't have her headset on, so I didn't want to confuse her, but I do have your mic on. So, Pat, my co-host, just walked in, and hopefully she will move instead of moving the microphone.
We are on the...
And I am here, yes.
Good, Pat, welcome.
Good to be here. Thanks.
But I know that you two do workshops, and you know, you go out and you know that there's that moment in your work when you have connected to who you've brought together at that time. So you know what I mean about just wanting to pull that moment and save it somehow, put it in your back pocket and carry it with you.
I'd love to hear more about how you experience that moment. What is that inside of you? What's going on for you?
I've seen you do that also, by the way.
Well, you know, I can only go back to, like, recent... Krista DeTour was in town. Did either of you... Were you at Krista's?
I was there.
Were you at Krista?
No.
But they came, and there was a lot of... We wanted to redo the entire building at Women Writing, wanted to make it look really special, and so we built a stage. We just did a lot of work, a lot of people. It took a lot of people beforehand to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Krista came... We had commercial lights and all of that. And then when she got up and started to perform, no one was familiar with her work. So I was wondering how it would go. Oh, it was just, I could just see that after about the second song that she had connected. Don't you think, Pammy? It was amazing. She just mm-hmm. connected with that audience and her sense of humor. And then for the next couple of hours, it was just heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching that happen and watching people. And then after it was over and people were just chatting and talking, and I knew that they had had a special night.
And, mm-hmm.
But someone walked up to me, and Sarah walked up to me and said, "This is your art, isn't it?" And I said, "You know, it is. I'm standing on everybody's shoulders just... you know, taking all the credit, kind of." But it was just, those are wonderful moments. And were you don't know Katie Ryder, do you, by
no.
any chance?
I knew her.
Katie.
Yeah.
Well,
I did.
Did you know Katie?
Musician. Mm-hmm. I used to listen to her music.
Mm-hmm.
Still do.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
She was special. She was very special. And she performed with for our group several times. She passed away young, very young. But Katie was performing, and we were at the Aronoff, and we were in the second largest room. I think that's the Jason the 700. It's a pretty big theater, and she had her band. And there, when you're working at the Aronoff, that's union, so you have to be very careful about your times, because if you go over, it's a big charge in that. But Katie was out there, and it was one of those nights where the audience and her, everybody. I was backstage watching everyone out there. They were up, and they were just loving her. And she was loving every minute. And she ran off the stage to me because it was time to be over. And she ran off, and she just looked at me with this. And you can't hear out there. I'm making hand things. I told her to go back and just play. And the union man came up, and I looked at him, and he said, "We better play." She was just having such a great time. It wasn't very long after that the terrible. She had some growth happened on her face and took her rather quickly. It's those moments that I remember, that I'll always remember.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think about that when I think about you in terms of spirituality, is that for you it's
In one way, I could say it's about you living your passion. Mm-hmm. It's about you doing what you really, what really feeds you, mm-hmm. What really makes you feel like you come alive, and you structure your life so that you create those moments. To me, that really is what being spiritual is a lot about, is that we take enough responsibility for our lives that we structure them in such a way that we're doing what feeds our soul. And when you talk about those moments, and you can call it your art, I think that's a beautiful way to call it, because in that creative process, every person I've ever talked to who is an artist, who has that creative, that's the whole point of it, is to lose yourself mm-hmm. in that something larger than you and let that fill you up. Mm-hmm. And that's what it sounds like you're talking about.
Yeah, it, a lot of times, and you know, you tackle as women.
Yes.
In the entertainment industry, there's not a lot of opportunity or support behind the camera, in front of the camera, and it's difficult. It's
right.
hard, and especially once you get a little older, it's really tough to get any attention. And for me, that's when artists or the art really starts ripening. You know what I mean?
Oh, the maturity.
Yeah, all of a sudden the artists, they have a different view.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is a total passion to them. And also they can share something deeper. And I want to be sure that we make sure they have a stage
uh-huh.
for that, that they have an opportunity. Because as women get older, we get better.
I think so.
We do. We get better. And riper, whatever you want to call us, we're stronger. And the other thing with what I do, is there's a difference between music created by men and music created by women. And I'm sure you, I'm not being sexist. This is just the way it is. Men like loud things. They like people dancing. They got a lot of activity. Women, on the other hand, they do things that are more acoustic. They're quieter. They
mm-hmm.
they tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
Their music has a story in it. And, you know, you can't get up and dance and hear the story. So you need listening rooms. Now, in some of the bigger cities, or even down in Asheville,
yeah.
where you're from,
yeah.
they have a lot of listening rooms down there.
Yes.
And that, so they have a big, I was looking, while I was there, of course, I was checking out their
right.
their
entertainment. A lot of live music in
mm-hmm.
Asheville. Lots.
And very supportive of the arts.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that happened down there, Louisa?
A lot of progressive people moved there is part of it, but the other part of it is that those mountains, seriously, and I mean this seriously, the mountains of Western North Carolina are some of the oldest landforms in the world, and the energy that's there, because I think of that age, the energy that's there really pulls you up from sort of the base of yourself. And what I've seen over and over and over is that people are called to come there, and a lot of times they don't even know why, but they are called to come there, and if they are ready to be pulled up from the depths of themselves and express it, then they never leave. It becomes the place they were always meant to be. But if you go there and you're not willing to let the mountains will chew you up and spit you out. They really will. I've seen it over and over. But there is an energy there that speaks to the soul, is mm-hmm. how I would say it. But it's also like that really raw depth that where I think passion comes from. You know, if you want to talk about it in terms of first and second chakra energy, I think the mountains really pull that up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of progressive politics. There's a lot of support for the arts, whether that's music or dance, or I couldn't even begin to name you half of the music venues that are in Asheville. But for a little tiny place with, I mean, the population is like less than 100,000, and still it has as much live music going on as a lot of bigger cities that I've been in, and almost every night of the week. There are lots of it.
And big name. And they had some big name people coming in
yeah.
down there.
Yeah.
In interesting bars. You know,
right.
It wasn't just your big theater. They had
right.
interesting bars, that, well, taverns, whatever. But it was, you could see that they do it differently.
Right.
You need to do a break here.
Well, I wanted to have you think about one thing. And I'm asking you this because I know that you did your own business for a long time, and then you said you sold that business to start Women's Way, mm-hmm. to really do what your passion was. And so I'm wondering if there was a leap of faith involved there. And I was hoping that you could think about that. And when we come back from a break, if you could talk a little bit about what that leap of faith was about and how you had the courage to actually take it. Because I know what it is. I mean, I was a therapist and a psychologist for many years, and I knew I wanted to do something very different than what I was doing. And I've argued with myself about it for 10 years before I finally had the courage to actually do it. And it was a huge leap to take off that umbrella, to actually that hat. To be a therapist is all sanctioned and everything. To be a spiritual coach, everybody's like, what, do you talk to the dead? People were always calling me up.
Well, yeah.
You talk to the dead?
I didn't want to say that.
It's like, well, I have, yes. I don't think anybody's dead, but yes, I can do medium stuff, but no, that's not what I mean by being a spiritual coach. But it's like that leap of faith. I don't know if you think about it like that, but...
Oh, I do.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, hold that thought and think about that, because when we come back, I would really love for you to tell people how you were able to do that. Because I think a lot of us are, literally, I've talked to thousands of people who are in the place of, gosh, there's something I really want to do, and I just can't have the courage to do it. So what does it take? I'd love to hear you talk about that. Oh, yeah, Bev brought us some great music. Before we hear this song, I want you to talk a little bit about what this song means to you. It's called Clock of the World by Krista DeTour.
DeTour.
Mm-hmm. DeTour.
Krista, if you're out there, I expect a check for all this publicity we're doing here. And I do know you're out there, Krista. So, Clock of the World, when I found Krista through Carrie Newcomer. She told me a little bit about her, and then we connected, and she came down and did a concert. She did some music. Are we going to have trouble with it playing?
We are going to have trouble with it. What we can do is play If Not Now by Carrie Newcomer, and then at the end of the show,
we can
play Clock of the World.
Sure, go ahead.
Right. So tell us now why this If Not Now by Carrie Newcomer means something to you.
Well, I think that when you listen to this, you won't even need me to explain this is. And if you can all imagine being in a large concert hall and then having this be the ending song of the day.
I'm
Spirits. That was Carrie Newcomer singing If Not Now. You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, your favorite listener-supported radio station, right here on 88.3 FM on your dial and also live streaming on WAIF883.org. I want to thank everyone so much for tuning in today. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I'm a metaphysical minister and holistic life coach and your host here every Wednesday for the show Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. What we focus on here every week is spirituality and personal growth on really practical ways to lead happier, healthier, more peaceful lives, to reclaim the vitality that comes from living our deepest truth. And personal and spiritual growth has always been my personal passion. And so my intention every week is to inspire you and to help you remember that if you are breathing, then you have that divine spark of life inside of you, because without it, you would be what we call dead. And because of that, you have access to power that you may not know that you have. I want to let you know that support for this show comes from Grailville Retreat and Program Center in Loveland, Ohio, and they offer meeting space for 2 to 100 people, overnight accommodations for 1 to 75, and special events for up to 225. They are conveniently located 35 minutes from downtown Cincinnati. Grailville is nestled on 300 scenic and pristine acres of nature trails, pastures, woods, and organic gardens. Tours of the facilities and grounds can be scheduled by visiting grailville.org or by calling 513-683-2340. And our guest today, Ms. Bev Bowers, told us how her whole journey kind of sort of started at Grailville. And so she's come a long way.
I don't think. Am I on?
You are now.
Testing. Grailville. I love Grailville. If those of you out there are anywhere near Loveland, Ohio, I encourage you, take a trip out there and visit Grailville. There are wonderful people, wonderful programs, and there's a certain spirit out there that you won't find many places. There, many, many incredible women have journeyed to that place,
right,
to sit down and determine what their spirituality meant to them.
Right.
And they challenged their religion. Even they challenged the Catholic Church.
Yes, they did. They
and
still are.
They still do. They didn't feel the women were being represented correctly, and they still insist on that happening.
Right.
And I don't know if you know that one of the secrets of Grailville is that the Catholic lay women, oh my God, I hope I'm not telling big, terrible secrets. But anyway, the Catholic women would go off at Grailville, and they would hold their own sacred holy services. And mm-hmm. once the church found out, they got pretty upset, mm-hmm. and they demanded that the farm be sold. And the women that lived there bought it. So
power to the
power
people.
That took care of that.
Yeah. So, I'm sure for them that was a big spiritual change, and they believed that they could maintain it, and they did.
Talk about taking personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. That was a big one. Well, I interviewed them on the show, and it was just delightful.
When you say them,
Becky and Nina, mm-hmm. and found out that Becky had actually is the one who very first time created the labyrinth with her tractor, and I went out there and walked their labyrinth, and oh my gosh, it was. I've walked a lot of labyrinths, and I'll have to tell you, this is the wildest one I've ever walked. I mean, it's literally just cut in the field, mm-hmm. but it's huge, and it was really a great experience. For anyone who doesn't know what a labyrinth is, it's something that's been used by peoples all over the world for a very, very long, long time, millennia, if not since the beginning of humanity, as a way to walk into the center of yourself using this path as sort of the symbolism for doing that. And you walk in and you walk out. It's just one path. You walk in and you walk out the same way. And in my experience, every time I've done the labyrinth, who I was walking out was really different from who I was walking in. But anyway, I love their labyrinth. And they have fresh organic honey. That's one of the most exciting things to know. Like, it's a really great place to get honey.
Yeah, they have some organic foods out there too.
Yeah, they do.
And in the dining room when they do meals, and if you're eating at lovely places, I say go to Grailville.
Yeah.
But they use most of their stuff right out of their own gardens.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've gotten some produce out there. It was wonderful.
I could talk for hours about Grailville, what it's done for me, what it did for my spirit, as far as knowing that that I was lovable, that I was important, that my voice, you know, could be heard, and helping me find who I was. They didn't tell me who I was.
Exactly.
But they certainly helped me to find who I was. And I walked away there on stronger legs.
Right.
I can tell you that. I'm there all the time, but I certainly support them.
Right. It sounds like they were a big part of your whole coming into yourself.
You know, I say that I am definitely a result of their teaching.
Uh-huh.
So it's their fault. If they blame it on them. But at my age, when I was there, we're going back, you know, 40 years.
Yeah.
40 years.
I know. I'm always shocked when I say, back 40 years ago, I'm like, oh, Lord.
It was different. With the actual women that came to this country were living, and they were actually living at Grailville. Janet Calvin, I think, is the last living.
She's still here.
Yeah, she's 90.
She might be like 98 or something.
Yeah. And but she was one of the original Grail women that came here. And I used to sit around the fire and listen to them all tell the stories of their journeys and what happened. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, my question was, didn't y'all ever want to have sex? are you nuns? I mean, I didn't know who, you know, I didn't understand what a... Well, as Louisa is talking probably to someone at Grailville saying, tell that woman to shut up, I want to mention that Swan Day this year is April the 14th, and it's going to be held at Women's Way. Women's Way is sponsoring with Women Writing for a Change. It's at 6906 Plainfield Road. The event starts at 1 o'clock. We have music. We have poetry. We have snacks and treats, $20 donation suggested, but it's a sliding scale. Absolutely no one turned away.
You're talking about Swan Day?
Yeah.
Great.
I thought I would just take a minute to do a pitch while you were on the phone. Okay, back to the serious stuff now.
Well, first of all, Swan Day is about honoring women and honoring women's creative talents. And personally, as a woman and as someone who thinks creative energy is divinely bestowed and that we all have it, I think Swan Day is a wonderful way to talk about spirituality, because not only are you living your passion, but you're giving a lot of other women the opportunity to live their passion. But even more bigger than that, more bigger, I went to college to learn to talk like that.
I'm
giving a whole lot of people the opportunity to participate in something that can feed their soul.
Swan Day, I think, is just a wonderful day, and it shows women that they don't have to be fearful of working together, and they don't have to worry. We have been raised to fear
yes.
another woman maybe advancing, or another person being successful. Or,
right.
And the truth is, the more doors you open for people, for them to go through, the more help you'll get when you try to open your doors.
That's right.
And Swan Day, Support Women Artists Now, simply ask the community for one day, go to a play, maybe written by a woman, go to a movie, maybe directed by a woman, read a book, maybe written by a woman, listen to some music. Just one day, go out of your way to go enjoy women's art.
Right.
And sometimes I get the feedback, well, men, you know, why don't you have a men's day? And my response is, I think we've got like 364 of those days. If you look in City Beat, just look
right.
at the entertainment, what's going on.
Right.
Tell me how many of those advertisements or events or women-centered things. We can't even get a listing for Swan Day. Dayton Daily Press just did a wonderful full-page write-up. But down here in Cincinnati, we can't seem to get the Inquirer or City Beat or anyone to take an interest.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
I know. And it's a big day. So it's an
important
day.
So how do people find out more about it? How do they really get the scoop?
Well, you can go to Women Writing for a Change, their webpage. It's up there. Or you can go to Women's Way of Ohio. Or you can call me at 513-923-1414. I'll tell you about it. And if you want to volunteer or do anything, just we'll talk about it. And if you're an artist and we didn't get you involved this year, let me know. We'll see what we can do next year or something. So I understand NPR today interviewed Kim. Kim, I know you're listening, and I hope the interview went well. And we're hoping to hear that Friday morning. It's about Swan Day, by the way.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Great.
Yeah.
Well,
yay,
Kim. Maybe the Cincinnati papers will bow their heads in shame.
Well,
if NPR is covering you and the local paper isn't.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we
that
had to go to Dayton.
Yeah.
Had to go to Dayton to get some press. But back to spirituality, Louisa, I just want to say I think that this program and what you're doing here is wonderful. And once people tune in and listen, it's different than they might imagine.
Right.
Truly.
Yeah, well, I've always been on the far left edge of everything. I've been so far out of mainstream that I couldn't even see the field. But my point has always been, because I had to do that in order to heal myself. I had a horrifically, what people would call a horrifically abusive childhood, was a drug addict for 20 years, suicidal many times. It's like I've been to hell and back so many times. Well, thankfully, I've been to heaven, too. So heaven and hell, both. So many times that I know it doesn't matter who you are or where you've been. There's always a way out. And so the point that I always want to make on the show is that it's never about religion. I think religion has helped a whole lot of people. I also happen to know that religion has hurt a whole lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of those people that was desperately hurt by religion. And so it has been my absolute conscious, I can't even think of a word big enough, enthusiasm, but my intention to let everybody that I possibly can know that your connection with that divine source, true self inside of you, is yours. And no religion can touch it. It's like, it's not about religion. It's about just being truthful with your own self and knowing that there's something bigger than you that you can tap into if you want to. That power is good. So talk about your faith, if you would. Let's go back to that idea of that leap of faith that you took to leave your business behind and go for what you really wanted to do.
Well, it was 25 years that I worked, and I worked 60 to 70 hours, and mostly 7 days a week.
Mm.
And then I had my first heart attack. That didn't really faze me. I was back to work in 5 days. But then I kept running into some health issues, and it became clear that I was going to have to do something else. And I'd always wanted to make a movie, and I thought, well, you know, I don't know anything about it. So I decided I was going to sell the business, and I was going to enroll in film school, which I did. And that was probably financially and trying to believe that I could grow old and, I don't know, not work 60 hours a day. It just was hard. But, you know, you have to do that if you're... I regret those 25 years.
Oh.
I regret I worked like a dog. And we made money, but you can't do anything with money if you don't have any time. And so that time, to me, was like my labor that I put forth now to allow myself to live my life. And I hope people make that decision sooner rather than later. Even if you only, you know, do live your life part-time or something, but don't be just work-centered.
I know so many people who would say the same thing. They spend their life working, and they wake up at 50 and go, I don't have a life, and I never have. All I've done is work, and I made a bunch of money, and so what?
Well, I can tell you when I had that heart attack, none of the employees came to the hospital. Nobody showed up, and so, I mean, my family closed. But now, recently, I had some problems, and I can't tell you how many people were worried. I didn't really want to worry people, but there were so many people. The difference between the community of my life now and the work is you just, I can't even believe it's the same lifetime.
Well, it's because you have a community.
Exactly.
You have a life, therefore you can make a community. Whereas before you didn't have a life, all you were doing is working. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. I didn't have, you can't have those, if someone's working for you, you can't have a close relationship.
Right.
Because basically you're governing their life with paychecks and rules and, you know, stuff like that. And so that's not going to be a good relationship. But once you're out and in the world and you're allowing yourself to care about other people and hear their stories.
Right.
And learn from, silence is golden, I've learned it. One of the, believe it or not, one of the things I've learned is that listening is fulfilling.
Yeah.
I think it was Carrie Newcomer that said, listening fills her up so much spiritually, just being quiet, the silence. And that's true. You don't have to be afraid of, you don't have to be afraid of being quiet.
Yeah. So how did you make that leap of faith? Or was it a leap of faith?
It was a definite leap of faith. It just came, I was just nudged right over this ledge with the threat of working and just dying, or leaving that and believing that I could figure out another way to make money and live. And actually, I turned away from that. And within a very short time, started another business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing as well now as I did then, but only working a few hours a day.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah. But it would work for anybody. I wish I could say I could tell you how it would work, but you'll figure it out. You have to believe that you'll figure it out. I see so many people that hate getting up to go to work the next day, or they're trapped by their jobs. And I don't understand why they don't just take 30 days and do something different.
Right.
But I guess the fear.
The fear is huge. I mean, I know when I did it, to give up that umbrella and all that public sanction and all those credentials, it's like it took me 10 years. I mean, it literally took the universe hitting me upside the head with a tumor before I would do it, because the fear was too much. But I really want to second what you just said, is that within 2 years of giving up the therapist hat and the psychologist hat and the taking of the insurance and all the stuff that I absolutely hated but thought I had to have, within 2 years of giving that up, I was doing better than I had ever been doing. I had less money on paper, but I had everything I'd ever wanted that I could never have. It was weird. The whole time, all that work I did, I never got the things that I thought I wanted so much. And then suddenly, when I was doing what I loved and I had less money, suddenly I got all those things. They just sort of happened. And it really made me a big believer in, if you do what you love, then the money will follow. I know there's a book by that title. I haven't actually read it. But it proved true for me, and I have watched hundreds of people do that. But it does take courage. And I don't know whether it's, how would you talk about the difference between courage and a leap of faith? Or are they the same thing?
I think it depends on the situation. But in the situation of making that big life change,
right,
first you have to find the courage.
Yeah.
And then you have to imagine the leap of faith. Because the leap, I think, is where you've got some vision of what's going to happen on the other side of the decision.
Uh-huh.
And almost everyone wears out at that point. They can't envision.
Because they can't imagine it.
But if they just let themselves fantasize for a second of what their life might be on the other side, just let that fantasy start playing in your head and then allow it to happen. If you can imagine it,
right,
it can come to you. I really believe that.
That is true. See, that's one of the greatest spiritual principles of all time.
Exactly.
If you can see it, then it's possible. If you cannot see it, you know, I have a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't know what I want. And I'm like, well, then don't make a move.
Because until you know what you want, until you can see what it is that you're reaching for, it's not time to make a decision yet, in my experience. But the second that you can go, that, jump.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard, yeah, to, and if you can't envision it, to create it. And to follow, then you can just step into it. Even it's less fearful, even though there might be some fear.
When I was making that decision, one of the things about making the movie, I knew that that was very difficult, especially after going to film school. But I did it. I mean, I not only made a movie, I worked with New York directors, and
wow.
We got to executive produce Hot Flash, and the film. I've shown it once, I think, over at Women Writing. The film was picked up on distribution at the first film festival that it showed at. That's like winning the $250 million lottery.
Wow.
Nobody's film gets picked up at the first film festival. It was shown in the UK. That's where it went. It's going to be released now. They come back to this, to our side of the lake, the pond, whatever they call it. And we're going to hopefully, you know, do something more with it. But
well, I definitely have to see it.
Yeah, but the thing is, I did not only a movie. This is not just a home movie. This is a great film.
What's it called?
Sandfire. It's a story of the uppity blues women. And it's a wonderful film about women, older women that started a blues band.
And they're great, by the way. I have at least one album by them.
Oh, they're wonderful. They were on, you know, all these shows. Phil Donahue. They were selling out to. They had a huge crowd in Chicago at the blues festival. And then one of the members got cancer, and the band could no longer perform it at the peak. And that was the story. Was that what was? Oh my God. But still, even though it didn't have a wonderful, happy ending, those women never regretted for a moment that they went out on the road late in life and played music that people still talk about. And yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, wow. If I had known that, I would have brought that Uppity Blues Woman CD. It really, they're really quite amazing. And they will make you laugh while you're dancing around, I promise you.
Well, you know, in Cincinnati, they were scheduled to play here, and Cincinnati, the city of Cincinnati, wouldn't let them because they felt their music was too raunchy.
You are kidding me.
No.
You are. Oh, my gosh.
That was years ago.
Well, I was going to say, when was that?
Well, it was when we say years ago, it was only about 9 years ago.
That's about all it took.
But, you know, those women, when they sang the blues, they sang the blues, and they left nothing out.
Right, right.
But there was nothing that was obscene by any means in their music. It was just women singing about their parts rather than holding them and dancing around on stage. But, again, it's for people that are stuck in their life and they just can't see, this is your only opportunity that we know of. I do believe in reincarnation, but If there isn't any, God, don't waste this mess.
Right.
Make a change.
What she's saying is, don't just make your life a mess.
No, no,
discover the mess and make something great out of it.
This world is a mess.
Yeah.
And it is a mess. And
yes,
we need
is.
More people to make the change, to do things they love. And we also need all of you to get on board with supporting peace and equality and just make this world a better place for your children and to save the planet. Drink water out of a cup and not a bottle. Just make small changes in your life.
Yeah. Well, I think you're a real inspiration for all of us to do that, that you could take that leap of faith and decide to do what you really wanted to do, because you're doing that has been a role model for who you don't even know how many people. But, yeah.
There's two. I'm pointing to two here.
But what you do know is that every person who has viewed those films, every person who has come to those concerts, every person who has attended things that were either related to women writing or women singing or women performing or women artists, every person has been touched. And you don't know how many people they have touched. So you doing that, just one person making that move, finding the courage to take that leap of faith, impacts hundreds, thousands, millions, we don't even know. So I really want to thank you for taking that leap of faith. And I also want to say for anybody who is thinking about that, in every spiritual tradition that I've ever studied, there is a promise. And it's, I'll just talk about it in the Western religion, Christianity, because more people know that in this part of the world than any other. And that is that if you take a step on faith, if you can see what it is you want, and you can see what the first step to take is, the promise is that if you will take that first step, then the next step will be shown. That's where we get hung up. We think, oh my gosh, I got to see the whole path. No, we don't get to see the whole path. But you do get to see the next step. So if you see what the first step to take is, take it. Because the promise is that through faith, the next step will be shown. And you just keep doing that. And I bet you that's what you did, Bev, is you just kept taking that step, and then the next step, and then the next step. And the next thing you know, you've produced a movie that we're going to get to see very soon.
Yeah, really, I will show it again. Are we going to have time to play that Krista piece?
We will, and I want to know, tell everybody when Swan Day is again, and how to find out about it, because I think that's coming up very soon, and
yeah.
I think it's really important, because it is a way to, it's a way for men and women to celebrate women. It's a way for women's creativity, and whether you're talking about Eckhart Tolle or David Hawkins or any of the teachers that are out there writing today, what they all agree on is what's going to save the world is women's energy. They all agree that the feminine principle is what is going to save humanity and the world in which we live. And I think supporting women artists is a fabulous way to do that. So tell us once again how we can all go out and support this.
Well, Swan Day this year is going to, the big event is April the 14th. That's at Women Writing for a Change at 6906 Plainfield Road. You can call me, 513-923-1414 for information, but you can also go to their website, and that's www.womenwriting.org. And they have it up there, information about the event. This Saturday, we kick off the month of Swan Month with Shelley Graff doing a singing sacred circle.
Fabulous.
That's going to also be at 6906 Plainfield Road. That's the Women Writing for a Change building. It's 1 o'clock, and I believe there's a maybe an $8 requested donation, but no one would be turned away. And that, again,
and
starts at 1 o'clock.
Are men invited as
well?
Oh,
of course.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's make sure that's clear.
Yeah. We hope at Swan Day, usually we have a pretty good turnout of folks. Sometimes things like sacred circles are not, they don't want to come to that. But they're welcome. If they feel like coming and joining and jumping in there, that would be great.
Wonderful. Well, Bev, thank you so much. I've enjoyed talking to you. I wish we had another 3 hours to do this.
We do. Just that we won't be on the air. And I also want to say, Sue, I'll be home soon.
So we are going to close out our interview with Bev today, listening to a song that she said. I can't remember what you said about Clock of the World.
The Clock of the World. I didn't get there. It just to capsulize it, that Krista was sent over to a project, the Darwin Song Project over in England, and a bunch of artists got together and they developed songs that captured the new principles of the Darwin theology, which you can also go check that out online. But this is one of the songs that they developed, and when I heard it and when other people hear it, it's one of the most moving songs. And if you wonder about God and the world, listen to the music that this group came up with and the mention about angels and what happens in your life.
Wonderful.
Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. So, again, this is Clock of the World. Krista Detour. Is that how you say your name?
D-E-T-O-R.
D-E-T-O-R. Krista Detour. It's on iTunes, of course. Clock of the World. Enjoy.
Came teeming across the plains.
Detour singing Clock of the World, which was our interview guest Bev Bauer's favorite song today. I am so happy to welcome everybody back here today. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati 88.3 FM on your dial and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. The show that we're doing every Wednesday is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And what we focus on here is the fact that we are divinely created beings, and whatever you call that divine source of life inside of you, whether you call that great spirit or your higher self or divine love, it doesn't matter what you call it, but I think it really matters that you call on it, because it is our birthright. And when we claim it, we feel better and our lives work better. And so I know that because I've been helping people do that for a very long time, and I've done that for myself. And I just really want to thank everybody for listening today. And I especially want to thank Bev Bowers, who we just got through interviewing. And she was telling us about her passion for empowering women. And I think that's one of the most important things that people can be doing. Because every spiritual teacher that I have read, including Jesus, as a matter of fact, they have all said that it is the feminine energy that is going to change our world for the better, because feminine energy is transformative. Feminine energy is receptive. Feminine energy likes to create new life forms. And so that gestation process that is required, it's like feminine energy knows how to take something in and birth something new. And that's what our world needs, in my opinion. And so every chance that we have to support women's creativity and all the things that Bev was talking about, I think are so important. So I was just delighted to hear about her journey today, and I hope that was inspiring for you to hear that if you just take that leap of faith, then the next step is shown. And if you take that one, then the next step is shown. And you know what? You can actually live a life where you love what you're doing. I saw something on Facebook the other day that said, I think it said, freedom is doing what you like, and happiness is liking what you do. My hope is that we all become happy and free, and that is certainly the goal that I have for my life. I also want to let everybody know that I am really interested in hearing people's personal stories about aha moments, about what your passion is, about what you think of as your spiritual life. We transform not only our own selves but other people's lives when we share who we truly are. And those are the stories that I'm really interested in letting other people hear. So if there has been any time in your life when a miracle has happened, when you've had an aha moment, when you've come through an experience that you really weren't sure you were going to get through, and then somehow, miraculously, you did. If you want to talk about how your understanding of the universe or God has changed over the years and what it is now that feeds your soul, those are the stories that I want to hear about. And so I invite you to get in touch with me through the Facebook page would be a great way for this show. And that is same name as the show on Facebook, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. You can also get in touch with me through any of my websites, and they're just my name, LuisaDyer.com and .net. And also, if you want some help with getting in touch with that inner divinity, that source, that true self, if you want to feel more grounded in who you really are, there is a free guided meditation on my LuisaDyer.com website that you can download. It's 10 or 15 minutes long, very short. And it will help you get present in your body, in your mind, in yourself, in your life, and give you a way to begin connecting with that divine spark of life that's inside of you. I know it's inside of you. Whether you feel it or not isn't what matters. What matters is if you're willing to feel it, if you're willing to connect with it. I know it's there because you're breathing. Otherwise, you would be what we call dead. So if you want to feel it more, if you want to tap into the power that lives in the core of your being, then that's one way. Listen to that guided meditation. You can also go online and just Google guided meditations, and you will find a bunch of them that will help you do that same thing. So I invite you to get in touch with me either through my websites or the Facebook page for this show. And do whatever it is that you need to do for yourself. If there's something that you've been wanting to do, if you have a dream, if you're in a job and you hate it, and there's something you know that you want to do that you would rather be doing, then see what you need to do in order to take that first step towards doing that. Because what I hope you heard from Bev today is that she actually regrets those 25 years she spent working in a job she didn't like, waiting on the opportunity to live a life that she wanted to live. And you know what? The opportunity never comes until we decide that we're going to do it. That's when the opportunities. We are beings of free will. And so we have to decide first, oh, you know what? I'm going to do something different. And then lo and behold, there's the first step of what we have to do. Take that step on faith, the next step will show itself. Don't wait until you can see the whole path laid out before you, because if you do that, you're still going to be waiting on your deathbed, because that is not the way it happens. I'm so grateful for Beth for coming on today. I think what she had to say was so inspirational, and the music that she shared, that If Not Now song by Carrie Newcomer and Clock of the World by Krista DeTour, I think were so beautiful. And I'm so excited about Swan Day. I think she said that was April 13th, if I'm not sure, but you can go to Women's Way of Ohio website or Women Writing for a Change website and find out a lot of information. It's a day to really celebrate the artistic creativity, the spiritual knowingness of women and what it is to be female, and I think that is so important for men as well as for women. And since Pat, my new co-host, is sitting here in the studio being very quiet, I'm going to ask her to say something before we sign off the air.
Oh, it's just been a great, it's been nice sitting here listening to your interview with Bev and just realize how much Bev empowers other women and how I really like that message. I really believe that we need to support women and not be afraid of that. Right. So that would be my message, what I got from today.
It's always so curious to me because we all say it. What is it that's fearful about women? Why do we not support women?
I think it's the only way. I think we really need that to empower one another. I personally have always felt that way.
Right.
And I've needed to be empowered. I've been lucky enough to be empowered.
Yeah.
Because I needed to be. To continue on in my life.
Right.
So Bev is such a great example of someone in such a big way. She just totally supports other women, and right. it's very, she's like a foundation. You know, I just see her as this foundation.
Yeah.
Pillar of strength that she's paying it forward.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great message, and I'm really wanting to step into that more myself and, right. and supporting other women.
Well, you know, it always makes me think about in the book that Eckhart Tolle wrote that Oprah did the 10-week video series on called A New Earth. He speaks in there very eloquently about how it is the feminine energy that is going to make a difference in our world and how ego does not get entrenched in the feminine form as easily as it gets entrenched in the male form. And that, and it's because women are more about feeling than they are about thinking. Not that women don't think beautifully, because we do.
Right.
But that there is a difference in the quality and the quantity of emotion that women are just sort of natively in touch with, that men have to work for mm-hmm. in order to be. And not that men can't do it, because I worked with, and I continue to work with, incredibly beautiful, sensitive men. And I love working with men, because when a man learns to be in touch with that receptive part of his nature, then amazing things can happen. And I think that's really what Eckhart Tolle was talking about in A New Earth, is that it is the receptive, nurturing, ego-less.
And healing.
Yes.
That our world needs right now.
That our world needs. Mm-hmm. That each of us need individually in order to heal.
First.
But that we also need to bring into the world so the world can heal.
I'm a believer.
Yeah, cool. And I think you're right. I think Bev really...
She embodies that.
She embodies that. Yeah. I absolutely agree. But we are closing out with our theme song for the show, which is God Is by Faith Rivera. So enjoy, and we will see you back here next week at 1, from 1 to 3 next week. Have a great week, everybody.